Sometimes it's fun to have a little bit of a history lesson, so we'll go ahead and have one right now. During the time of Jesus, as the Romans occupied Palestine and the surrounding area, there was the belief, as had been from the very beginning of the Jews' entrance into the Promised Land, and at the building of the temple by David and then by Solomon, that Jerusalem and the temple were a particularly holy place, an important place in the life of those who would be faithful to God. It was held as common thought that for one to truly worship and to truly be a part of what God was doing, one needed to go to Jerusalem, that you would find God in that place. Now, in the life of Jesus and in the life of the Jewish people in Palestine, that whole understanding began to be turned upside down. In Jesus, who, remember, remarked to the Samaritan woman that it was not those who worshipped at Jerusalem or those who worshipped at Samaria that were right or wrong, but that there was a time coming when worship would be more about who and not about where. This came to pass historically for the Jews when in the 70 AD, after a revolt by the Jewish people of Palestine, the Romans, in good imperial fashion, came in and destroyed the whole city of Jerusalem and leveled it. Whatever claims people made about God's presence in Jerusalem and Jerusalem being a holy place were pretty much vanquished at that point. And the Jewish faith and the people of Palestine were left aghast, trying to figure out what they were going to do and what it meant to follow God, who obviously was not fully present in the temple in Jerusalem. The disciples on the road to Emmaus are working through these very same issues in a different way. They have, in many ways, already understood Jesus in that no longer will God be confined to a particular place or to a particular time. Their world had been turned upside down. It was no longer the world that they grew up in. It was no longer the world that they had understood and counted on. It was a world where things, as they understood it, no longer made sense. But it was a world in which salvation and the love and the presence of God was a very real thing. Something so real as to be counted upon, as they were soon to discover. You see, the model set up in this story of these two disciples, one conveniently unnamed, so that you can conveniently place your own name in that place, are walking along. It's the first day of the week. It's a normal day, except for the fact that the things that had been happening in Jerusalem had caused them to be perplexed. They were sharing a journey to Emmaus, talking over these things, and they encountered a stranger who asked them, "What's going on?" And as they explained it to him, this stranger began to line out, to map out, to explain how the world that they had left, how the world that had been turned upside down, how the world that they once knew had changed and had become the place that was filled with the salvation of God. And as they journeyed, desiring the presence of one who helped them understand, they said, "Come, dine with us." And Jesus, in disguise, did. And then, with the simple meal held at a table, the regular repast that we each and every one of us must have, discovered that the risen Christ was with them in the breaking of the bread. The church has found in this pattern our whole worship service. And while I find that instructive and useful, it's not only the worship service that will find a pattern here, but this is, if you will, a pattern for how we might encounter Jesus in a personal and real way every day of our life. For sometimes we have to wonder if we don't say somehow that God is confined to a particular place, the church building, and God is somehow confined to particular times, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, or that God is kind of confined to places where we can experience Him in the bread and the wine. But the reality is that the world that was turned upside down on its head in Jesus' day is still upside down and on its head for us. That we can encounter this Jesus, and it might happen as we're going through our daily life, as we're conversing about the things that mean the most to us, and as we come to those moments when we must simply eat, we invite Jesus, or whoever is journeying with us, to come and eat with us. I don't want to diminish the importance of what happens each and every Sunday at 10 o'clock. And I especially would never want to diminish the importance of what we do as we share this feast, coming with who we are and our questions, coming before Christ, offering ourselves and all that we have as a thanksgiving, a sacrifice to God, coming and sharing these symbols which are so rich and full of meaning. But I do want to suggest that if these things happening this day at this time are going to be full of the meaning and power that they have, then it is when we go into our Mondays, our Tuesdays, our Wednesdays, our Thursdays, our Fridays, and our Saturdays, understanding that when we journey with others, when we deal with the deep questions, when we encounter the moment of feasting, that we are then also able to encounter the risen Christ. That it's not confined to just this moment, but that it is every moment you live that you have the opportunity to open yourselves up to the risen Christ, to deal with the questions that are most painful and most difficult, to share the most wondrous understandings of how God is breaking into our lives that are ridden with fear and anxiety and depression and all sorts of other plagues. And how God is working in our lives through the very simplest methods, through the relationships we have with each other, through the journey of an everyday life, through the feasting at a table of a family, to say, "I am here for you. I am on your side. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am the one who will bring you into heaven. I am the one who has paved the way. I am the one who has made the path straight. I am the one who has filled the valleys and lowered the mountains. I am the one who walks with you." Every single day, this is what's happening in your life. The road to Emmaus is not just a road that confines or defines our worship, The road to Emmaus is the road you are walking on. And so, it's not just your church life and what you do here that becomes a part and a pattern of this God breaking in. It's your daily life, your family life, your community life. And so, the opportunity is upon us. I wonder what would happen if whatever doubt or question we had could be shared by another person. And when I say shared, I don't mean that you tell somebody for them to give you an answer, but the kind of sharing that two people can sit before an issue and go, gosh, that really is perplexing. I don't understand. That means that we really come from our depths and make ourselves vulnerable with each other. I don't understand. What is going on here? I thought Jesus loved me. This doesn't feel very good. I'm not sure. But the incredible thing is that once you have another person sharing the very depths of your questions, it seems that something happens when two or three are gathered, that somebody shows up and begins to shape things differently. Could it be that the presence of Jesus is available to us at some time and some place that's not located here at 8412 Richmond Avenue at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? And could it be that the table at which you eat, whether it's with family or fellow residents or co-workers or friends, is also a place where bread being shared and broken becomes a place where Christ is revealed. I'm going to leave the question unanswered with the encouragement and the reminder that God has turned the world upside down. And you are His child. And that God loves you in Jesus Christ. And just as God in Jesus could no longer remain in human form, what did He say to the disciples? It's best that I go away. It's best that I go away. And you not see me. It's best because we have a tendency to want to put God in places and times where we can deal with Him at our leisure. But God will not have us that way. And so, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the risen Christ, God is breaking into your life, not just on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at 8412 Richmond Avenue, but even more strongly the rest of the week. Go and journey with this Jesus. Ask the hard questions. Listen to the answers and invite him to eat with you at every meal. Let us pray. Could it be so easy, Lord? And the answer is, of course. For it is your seeking us that makes it all work, and your loving us that turns it all around. And it's your death and your resurrection that has turned it upside down and reversed what we thought we knew. Thank you, Lord. Love us on the journey. Love us in the questions. Love us in the teaching. Love us at the table. Love us as we proclaim your presence with our lives and our words, our actions and our minds.